Michael, the All County League's up and running, a couple of round of games playing. How are things shaping up in Derry?
Very competitive, Tom, would be the main theme. Our Division 1 at the end of this year will be dropping from 16 teams to 12. So you can just imagine the type of pressure there's going to be on teams. And to put you in the picture, last season, four teams finished on 11 points in around that drop zone. So, you know, there's going to be a real push early on to get points. And this Sunday, Kilray are playing Ballaghy, and neither of them have a point. You know, so it's nearly a relegation battle in round three, you know, at this stage of the season, which is unthinkable.
The normal situation was two up and two down, wasn't it?
It was one up and one down.
One up and one down.
Yeah, but now it's four. It's essentially to get a 12-team league to make the calendar easier managed. That was sort of the consensus of it. But the thing about it is the club league season is so important there that next year it's going to be down to 11 games, which, you know, will probably in the long term be very detrimental for football. But
that's a reduction from 16 to 11 games.
Or from 15 to 11.
15 to 11 games. It's pretty drastic, isn't it?
It is, but to be fair, you know, the guy Stephen Barker, who runs the fixtures in Derry, he's a pretty sharp man. And, you know, the Gaels of Derry, they want 15 league games. They want their county players for them all. They want to allow the county team to prepare. And they still want all their league games finished before the championship. So those four things in the one year, they don't fit. You know, it doesn't allow for snow. It doesn't allow for postponement. So it leaves it very tight. So I think unless, you know, the county decide to go down the star game route, that's about all we can really do at this stage.
You don't have star games?
We don't, no.
Yeah. So one of the few, I'd say, in Ulster that don't?
Yeah, well, it's just, it never really has been the way. You know, there was a stage a few years ago, probably 10 years ago, there was 8-team leagues, you know, Division 1A, 1B, and like it was cutthroat every week, you know. It's like the National League at the minute. It's, you know, one, two games and you're going well, and lose two and you're looking over your shoulder. And I suppose that's where Kilray and Ballaghy find themselves this weekend, you know, and not only round three of the league.
And tell me, what is the situation with the Division 2 next year?
Division 2 next year, they're going to get the top 8 out of Division 2 this year, and they're going to join the bottom 4 of Division 1 to form a 12-team Division 1B. But, for example, the champions of Division 2 this year will automatically go into Division 1A. You know, that'll be the way it'll work. You know, not automatically. They'll have a playoff. But once they finish top, if they win their playoff, they're into Division 1.
Anyway, you mentioned Ballaghy and Kilray, pointless after two rounds of games. They're meeting this weekend. How are the rest of the team shaping up?
The pick of the bunch so far have been Coleraine and Maher Felt, the last two winners of the league, actually, and they've won both their games. Maher Felt will host Slanail this weekend, so that'll be a big game. Slanail drew with Ballandry last week. Conlath Gilligan, at 38 years of age, kicked the equaliser. The man just seems to be getting better as the year goes on, you know. He's looked after himself really well, and he popped up with an equaliser. So, you know, even Slanail has dropped a point already, and they face a big game with Maher Felt. So every single game, you could make a case every week of a game that will either a team trying to steer to relegation or a team trying to win the league. So the league is going to be really, really interesting this year.
Yeah, and as we know, normally that's the interest in the league and clubs' commitment to the league has been to the detriment, has been to the detriment of the county senior team. So Damien McArdean is going to have a job on his hands this season.
It's hard in the fact that, you know, I was just doing a wee article the other day about Derry's Christy Ring competition, and the dual players, for example, will have 7 football games and 3 hurling games before they play the first round, and, you know, the football team will have 7 games to play before they play in the championship. So it is hectic, but I think it's been used too often, the club rivalry thing, as an excuse. you know, definitely the club scene is very competitive, but even way back in the 90s when Dungiven and Lavi were, you know, like cutting lumps out of each other in championship matches, but when the Derry jersey went on, it didn't seem to matter. You know, I think the club rivalry thing is sometimes overused as an excuse, but, you know, the Derry leagues are just brilliant. You know, from our point of view here in the paper, you know, you're covering them every week, and every time you go to a game, it's always hanging in the balance. You know, like, for example, last night I was at a Division 2 game, Fahan Vale and Castle Dawson, and it ended up there's only 3 points in it, and Fahan Vale were pushing for a goal later on, and the ball was dropping under in the goal mouth, and, you know, it could have went anyway, and that's just indicative of league football in Derry every week, and I think that's why the Gaels of the county love the league so much, because every game is competitive.
And the supporters come out and support the games?
Aye, there's always a good crowd. Like, for example, Tom, last Monday night, Balahi played Dungiven in a standalone fixture. It was on because of a wedding. It was played on a different day. And there were spectators from loads of different clubs there watching. You know, and, you know, managers from other clubs watching, because they'll be playing them in a few weeks' time and sussing it out. And no, I have to admit, from a personal point of view, I just love this time of the year, and I probably speak for most of the Gaels of the county.
Yes. Moving anyway to the games, we'll start with Balahi and Kilray. How do you see that one? What's going to be the big defining moments there, or what's going to be the defining players? Who are going to be the defining players? Or,
well, I suppose for Balahi, Rory McIlwee has been on fire up front, really, for Balahi this season, and James Keilt. He scored 8 points last week against Glen. They were beaten by Glen, but, you know, he nearly pegged the game back by himself. So that's where it's going to come. But, for example, Balahi was 6-1 up against Dungiven and cruising and just lost momentum. And at home, if they get a run on Kilray, they're going to have to really push on. I fancy Balahi just on that one, but I'm looking forward to it. There'll be a lot to play for.
And Mara Felter at home to Stockneil.
They are, yeah. Marfelt have got Adrian Cush, former Tyrone player, in management this year, and Terence McCullions has taken over from Mickey at Slatneil. So, two new managers. Slatneil, I wasn't at the game, but by all accounts, it was a game that Slatneil could have won by 10 points had they taken the chances. And in the end, Ballinderry could still have snatched a win. A massive win for Ballinderry. But Slatneil will probably be up against it against Marfelt. They haven't done any training since the Nemo game. Maher Felt are probably in a better place at this stage. But tight game. Maybe Maher Felt to edge it.
Glenullen at home to Ballinascreen.
Glenullen pulled off probably the shock of last weekend. I think if you're a betting man, you'd have bet on Slatneil to beat Ballinderry and Swatter to beat Glenullen. Swatter had a brilliant result against Ballinderry in the first round. But were turned over. Michael O'Kane is the manager of Swatter, and his three brothers scored, I think, 11 points between them for Glenullen. Family rivalry there to turn them over. But I think Ballinascreen will probably take this weekend's game. They've started the league pretty well. They had a good Ulster League campaign. And I fancy Ballinascreen to come through that one.
Lavi had been away from the top table for a few years. Showed signs maybe that they were on the way back. They're at home to Swatra.
That'll be a very interesting game there. You say Lavi have went away. Give Lavi 3 or 4 years and they'll be back at the top again. They're an under-21 team that got to an Ulster final. But just below that, they've got an under-16 team. So that's two teams coming at the right time. How soon they'll win the Derry Championship is hard to know, but they're definitely an upcoming team, and I fancy them to come through that game.
Yeah, and I suppose fair to say, would the game of the day be in Ballinderry and Dungiven?
Aye, that probably would be. You talk about, we spoke earlier about Kilray and Balahi, but this is another game. You know, where Dungiven were sucked into that relegation battle last year. They get two massive points at home to Balahi. But as I say, you know, going down to Shamrock Park's never an easy place to go. But you know, there's no reason why Dungiven couldn't go there and turn them over. Maybe just Dungiven for me.
Yeah, and you say Coleraine, one of the farm teams so far, home to Loop.
Aye, Coleraine have been the form team. I think the biggest shock last year was that they didn't push the championship properly. They won the Ulster League, they won the league, and they've won the Ulster League again this year. But their team hasn't changed. You know, that's only probably disadvantage of Coleraine. Their team, they haven't really freshened up enough. You know, they won the minor championship last year, Grade B, but all their top stars are still too young to break through to senior level. So they probably need to freshen up their team, but they're probably going to be the team that's going to knock Slanhill, you know, the most this year. And I fancy Coleraine to come through for a third one.
Yeah, Glenn have had great success at minor in recent years. Any signs they're at home to Greenlaw?
I just found out today, Tom, that match is actually a late throw, and I think it's five now. I'm not sure why, but they're at home to Greenlock. They'll find it quite hard. Greenlock on the Niall Conway have been very, very defensive, but they've sort of played to suit themselves. You know, they have Endolin and Niall Loughlin up front last year, and they played to their strengths of two danger men and everybody else behind the ball. This year, Niall Loughlin's in Australia, a huge loss. And last week, they almost drew with Coleraine. And I remember last year, they came to Slanhill and nearly turned over Slanhill with their defensive approach. Glenn will find that a tough game. And if Glenn's going to win a championship, you're going to come up against a defensive team somewhere along the way. So probably Endogarmy's looking at that game as a test to see how they play against Greenlock's system. Glenn, last year, were very disappointing against Slanhill in the semi-final, and I suppose a lot of people are thinking, are they ever going to come? But they've got that much talent coming through that you sort of feel it is going to come eventually. When is the question? Danny Tallon left the county panel at the tail end of the league, and he bagged 1-4 there last week against Killaray. He's in fine form. They've Emmett Bradley at midfield. Kieran McFall hasn't left to go to America yet. He was pulling the strings at midfield, you know, so, and they've actually started to bring through another few young lads, like Oran McGill from Derry's minor team. Eunan Mulholland came on as a sub and scored a goal, younger brother of Cahill. So they're even freshening it up again. I don't know what way that game will go on Sunday. It'll be very, very interesting, but if it was Endogarmley, I would be going into that game thinking, how am I going to prepare for a defensive team when the championship comes and they'll get no better chance on Sunday? It'll be a very low scoring game, maybe Glenn to edge it.
There's games in Division 2 and 3 as well. What are the standout games in Division 2?
The standout one in Division 2 is Banagher away to Ballymacguigan. They've both won their games, won both games so far. Ballymacguigan under manager Paddy Downey, who incidentally managed Banagher last year, and there was a difference of opinion and they parted company early on in the season. So, you know, Paddy will be over Ballymacguigan this year and will have an extra wee bit of bite between his teeth when he goes to take on Banagher on Sunday. I saw Banagher last Sunday. Brian O'Gmilligan at midfield was just awesome. He was the best player on the pitch, son of former Derry great Brian. And, with Gavin O'Neill alongside him, they have a formidable midfield. And, you know, goalkeeper Darren McDermott's kickouts are excellent. So that's a massive platform in that division for Banagher. Now, Ballymacguigan, traditionally, I think they've got the most intermediate championships after Craig Bann. I think they've got five. So traditionally, they're an excellent intermediate team. And, you know, they've been sort of bolstered over the years. They've got Ryan Ferris has come in into the squad from Mahara Felt. You know, he's transferred across, which was a huge addition to them. They've got former Ballymacguigan great Darren Conway up front for them. He's probably one of the best players in the division. So Ballymacguigan are a very, very experienced team. And they've actually added Daniel Bradley from St Mary's Mahara Felt's Macquarie Cup team from their underage ranks. You know, and they've got a new goalkeeper in recent times, and they had a guy, Shea Bradley, that was on the panel for Holy Trinity. So they're coming through with a bit of youth as well. And I would love to get to that game on Sunday. It's down in Ballymacguigan. A huge test for Banagher, and from watching Banagher last week, I fancy Banagher to win it. But, you know, if Banagher are going to get into that top spot, probably Sunday is that game that'll maybe define their season. It's sort of quite hard to believe, you know. I remember leaving Enniskillen last year. Derry had just been relegated to Division 4, thinking, well, we'll be in this league. in the Division C. We're in this league, we'll build, we'll go back up again. But the unthinkable has happened, and I suppose there's just a real, there's real apathy around the county, around the whole thing. You know, everybody's got an opinion on it. My opinion is that it's been 10 years in the making. Just gradually, Derry have dipped from Division 1 champions in 2008 to Division 4 inside a decade. And I think personally, it's got the stage where everybody involved in Derry football needs to just sit down around a table, or clubs need to get their point across about where they think Derry needs to go and voice that. And, you know, because like Derry is a very, very proud GA county, and to be playing Division 4 next year is unthinkable. You know, whenever you think that they were in a Division 1 final, you know, what, 3 or 4 years ago, and the amount of club football and schools football teams that are coming through, you know, that there just seems to be a missing link between minor and senior. And a lot of it comes back to the fact that you're not guaranteed success. You know, Jim Gavin can dangle Sam Maguire in front of an 18-year-old in Dublin and say, come with us and we're going to do big things. But the thing about it is, in Derry, that's not there. And players are getting, you know, vibes from the clubs. They're saying, well, if you're not a regular for Derry, just forget about it and come play for your club, you know, and you'll get a regular game. And, you know, the amount of, I think Derry have used 51 players in 2 seasons in league and championship football. Like, and it's impossible to build any stability. You know, 51 players in the two main competitions over 2 years. But I just think it's got the stage where the whole setup needs to dig really, really deep and find out where the county is going. Because as I said, Derry didn't get relegated in, say, the last 10 minutes. They got relegated in, say, the last 10 years were from Division 1 to Division 4. And I think everybody in the county just has to take a long, hard look at themselves, at every department, you know, club, county, you know, just whatever way things are going, because it has to change. You know, there's just too much talent for Derry to not be pushing higher up the table.
Tell me, Michael, you mentioned there that a review between clubs, county, all sections in the county. Well, is there any talk of that been done, or is there any moves to have that done?
Not that I'm aware of so far, but it's the sort of thing that needs to happen. And, you know, when something like this happens, you're going to have a blame game. You know, it's the player's fault, it's the manager's fault, it's the county board's fault. But the bottom line is, it has to change. You know, so
Are you surprised that there's not something been done, a review been carried out, or, you know, and shall we say, go so far as to say an inquiry as to why?
Aye, well, it's like everything else. If your club was knocked out of the championship early in the season, there'll always be some sort of a post-mortem. But I don't know, it's just, you know, and just to sum it up for you, I was coming home from Derry's relegation, and I stopped somewhere on the way home, and I met somebody from my own club. And the first thing they said to me was, isn't it deadly we don't have a manager? Meaning Mickey wasn't replaced. Whereas I'm thinking, Derry's just been relegated to Division 4, and it wasn't that person's train of thoughts. It's not his fault, but there's just such an apathy towards the county. You know, and as I talked earlier on there about rivalry, it is used too much as an excuse. When Brian McGilligan and Johnny McGurk and Henry Downey were at the top for Derry, they were cutting lumps out of each other in championship matches in the 90s. In the 2000s, Balahi, Loop, Balahi, top dogs in Derry club football, you know, and real intense rivalry. But the same players were putting on that red and white jersey on a Sunday, and they're still playing well. I think the rivalry is just, it's too easy an excuse, in my opinion.
Is there a lack of leadership at the top?
Well, I think it's got the stage where somebody is just going to have to take the thing by the scruff of the neck and go for it. And whether clubs just say, look, what's happening here? Or where the next county board meeting where they just sit down and say, look, where are we going here? Because something has to change. You know, and as I say, it's not down to one individual. It's not down to 1 year. It's not down to 1 month. It's just down to just a decade of decline that's eventually bottomed out at this stage, and it's got the stage where something just has to be done.